The elder brother is a type of the Pharisees in the passage. And they thought because they're so holy and righteous and sanctimonious that, you know, God ought to be blessing them and doing something for them instead of the old prodigal out there eating pig's food, old, you know, good-for-nothing, rotten guy who took his inheritance and left. You know, they thought they were something special. Bible believers today. Christians today. Hot shots. Christian hot shots. Christian celebrities. I'm special because of what I do and what I did. The focus in this passage, ladies and gentlemen, just as much as the lost sheep magnifies the Son and the lost coin magnifies the Holy Spirit, here in this passage the word Father is mentioned 12 times. It magnifies the Father. How come so much preaching on the Father? I mean on the prodigal. Because we have a tendency to like the prodigal and we get to relating to the prodigal and thinking that, well, one day we're all going to be a prodigal. Well, you might be, but you don't have to be. But I want to preach to you today about something a whole lot greater than the prodigal. And I preach to you this morning about the Father. You say, why? Well, it's Father's Day. Well, every day ought to be Father's Day as far as he's concerned. A fellow said to me not long ago, you know, preacher, he said, some of the things you've been teaching and preaching here lately, he says, it makes me realize that some of the things I thought God was, he's not at all. He says, I'm having to be willing to reconsider my positions. Is that Elwood back there in the back? Yeah, I thought that was. How you doing, man? Good to see you, Hoss. Glad you're here. I don't have my glasses, but I can still make out that face. Glad you're here, brother. Luke chapter number 15. Now, I want you to take a look at this, and I want you to grow weary in the passage here and think, you know, well, I already know all there is to know. Just hang on. Maybe not. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Now, he starts off with a certain man. That's what I want to preach to you about this morning. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods which falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. In other words, this boy was wanting his daddy to act like he was already dead and he was already going to get his inheritance early. And he says, and he divided it unto them. Make sure you get that. The elder brother got his portion at the same time the younger brother got it. And the elder brother, according to the New Testament, the Old Testament, got two-thirds and the younger brother got one-third. So he made out all right. And the Bible says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Notice that the father didn't jump in there and say, you're not going to go. This boy's tired of rules and regulations and righteousness and right living. So he says, you know what, I'll be a rebel. I'm going to leave and go. Notice the father didn't jump in his way and say to him, you're not going to go. He gave him a free will to choose. He came to a certain age where the father no longer dictated to him what he should do and how he should be. Let me say that again. He came to a certain age where the father no longer dictated to him and said, this is what you're going to do, and then kept him in prison. He said, if you want to go, go ahead and go. Free will, still an exercise. Watch. And the younger boy takes his stuff and he takes off. And what does he do? He gathers all together, wastes his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and began to be in want. That's a terrible situation to be in there. He's run out of funds and his fair weather friends are gone. He's in the far country. Now the famine moves in and he's in the field feeding hogs, fishing out hog slop. That's what he's doing and that's what he's eating. And the Bible says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that far country, or that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, that's a long journey there, a lot farther than from the father's self, coming to your own self, getting in your right mind. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. And for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Brother Brad, you pray. Ask God to bless the message, please.
Thank you, Lord, for taking the shackles off us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the truth. And Lord, I pray.
Amen. Now I want you to notice a couple of things here. Obviously the prodigal's out of the will of God. He's not doing the things that are right to do. And he gets ready to come home. The Bible says that he came to himself and he gets ready to return. So he probably goes up there to his new boss out there feeding the hogs, and he wakes up that morning in the filth of that pig pen, and he's sick and tired of his life, and he knocks on the door of that boss's house, and he says, "Here's your bucket. I'm not feeding your pigs anymore." And he says, "Well, where do you think you're going to go from here? You got nowhere to go." And he said, "I'm going to go back to my father's house." And he said, "Boy, the way you look and the way you smell and the things that you've done and the things that you've lost out there of your father's inheritance that he gave you, why, if I was your father, I'd turn the dogs loose on you. I bet you your father won't even take you, won't even talk to you, won't even have anything to do with you." I think that boy looked at that man and said, "You don't know my father." That boy gets ready to return home, and as he starts back home, he headed for the house there, he begins to cross over that horizon, and I think that he takes a cursory look of himself, and he looks back in the past at his life, and he realizes some things that have gone on in his life, and he thinks to himself, "You know what? I might be headed for home, but from the looks of myself, I don't deserve to go to the house." I'll be willing to bet that he thought long and hard about whether or not he was even acceptable to return to the father's house. Years ago, there was a great artist who needed a beggar for a painting, and so he went out into the streets and he found a street urchin, and he asked the guy, he said, "Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, he said, if you'll show up over at my studio, he said, I'd like to paint a portrait of you, and I'll be glad to pay you for the time that it takes for you to sit, and you can get you some bread and some things like that." And so the next day, he goes out there and he opens up the door. The sound of the door knocks. He opens up the door and hears this fellow standing out there. And he said, "Sir, who are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm the same beggar that you talked to yesterday." And the artist said to him, he said, "Well, my, it seems that things have changed an awful lot." He said, "You can't be the same guy I talked to yesterday. The guy I talked to yesterday was all dirty and nasty. He had rags and he stunk." He said, "You're all cleaned up and clean shaven." He said, "I wasn't looking for somebody that was clean. I was looking for somebody that was dirty." Sam Jones said, "The hardest journey that any man makes is the journey against himself to accept the fact that God will accept you just like you are, than to try to get yourself cleaned up." See, man is so proud. Man tries to get himself cleaned up, get himself dressed up. Not just in the sense of on the outside, putting on a suit of clothes and getting a haircut. More than that, man tries to get his life cleaned up before he comes to the Lord and says, "Now, Lord, I want to present my life to you." No, God's not interested in your life. God wants your heart. Your life is not worth presenting. And this prodigal, he sits there and I think he begins to get disturbed and he begins to stop and think about what's going on, and he puts his head down in his hands and maybe sits out on a stump just short of where the father's house is. And I want you to notice in the passage that the Bible says, first of all, that the father recognized him. Nobody else recognized him. You say, why? He didn't look like a son. He didn't act like a son. No doubt he didn't even carry the attributes of the father into the far country. And everybody else would walk by him and not say nothing. Just say, "Oh, boy, we know your daddy. And boy, we know who you come from. And boy, we know the good stock that you came from. And we know who you used to be." I mean, this boy had completely changed in his appearance. He had completely changed outwardly. He resembled nothing at all what left the father's house the first time. But I want you to notice that the father still recognized him. The Bible says that when he was a great way off, that the father ran to meet him. Why is that so important? I am not going to tell you that it's right for you to go to the hog pen this morning. I'm not going to tell you that it's justifiable for you to go to the hog pen. But I do want to tell you that every moment that that boy was down in the hog pen and he was living wrong and doing wrong and acting wrong and smelling wrong, that he never stopped being his father's son. And I don't care what devil-possessed preacher tries to tell you that you can tell by somebody's actions whether or not they're a son. They're a liar right out of the pit of hell itself, because God still recognizes you as a son born again by birth through His blood, not by your actions. Just because you're out in the pig pen and wasting the substance and riotous living doesn't mean the Father doesn't still recognize you. Right.
Don't you let them retread you or talk you out of your salvation or try to claim that if you're acting this way, you couldn't be saved. Nowhere in this passage does this boy ever stop being a son. I'm sick and tired of this Tommy rot going around today where these preachers are trying to say, well, you couldn't be saved because you drink and you smoke and you cuss and you carouse around and you do all those other things that they may do in their mind, but of course they're not doing it outwardly for you to say. And then they bring into question one of the greatest promises in this age, that you're sealed under the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. The day you got saved, He made a covenant and promise that you're saved and you're sealed in spite of how you might act. You need to be delivered from the prison bars of this world interested in raising numbers and make you question the goodness of the Father. Listen, if this morning you're out in the far country, you're in the pig pen, the Father will still recognize you whether the Bible believers do or not. Thank God I don't have to trust whether or not a preacher thinks I ought to get in. I don't believe any preacher is so holy and so righteous he can see down into my heart. Only God knows the transaction that took place between me and Him when I was 7 years old. Only God knows if I'm His son or not. You can't tell by how I act. I'm sick and tired of people being made to question the Father. They say, well, we're not questioning the Father's goodness. We just believe that if in fact they really were saved, that there'd be fruit. A lot of things in the name of works are an attempt to try to make something look like something. It's called fruit. But there's no attempt through the Holy Spirit called fruit inspection.
Amen.
And I don't care what you say, and I will go toe-to-toe with you and face-to-face with you, and I will not become a brawler with you, but I'll tell you, only by the grace of God, you're not in the far country this morning. And you better be careful about pointing finger and prodigals in the far country, you elder brother, you.
Amen.
At least by the end of the story, the Father is rejoicing with the prodigal and the elder brother has come.
Right.
We know that the elder brother is a type picture of Israel. And they're locked out because of their own pride and their own unbelief. They can't accept how good God's been to them.
Let me just try to tell you to understand that he was still a great way off. But even though he was a great way off, he never ceased to be a son. And the illustration is told of a young boy who's walking down an ice-laden path with his father. And they're walking down that pathway. The little boy is holding on to the father, and the father says, better let me hold you. He said, I don't need you to hold me. I can hold on myself. And they got going a little bit further, and all of a sudden that boy's feet came out from under him, and he slipped down and he busted his hind end, and he hit down on the ground real hard, and his daddy looked at him like that, reached his hand down there, and he picked him back up, and they started to walk again. That little boy's rubbing his hind end, and he said, man, that really hurts. That really hurts. And his daddy said to him, he said, now, son, if I'd been holding on to you instead of you trying to hold on yourself, you wouldn't fall.
Amen.
You know, if Christians have a problem, they think they're the ones doing the holding.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to do? You're fixing to bust your hind end.
Right.
You know what? You're fixing to bust your hind end because it ain't you doing the holding, it's him.
Amen.
Little boy and his dad proceeded a little bit further, and all of a sudden that little boy's legs, he got going a little too fast, and that little boy's legs came right out from under him again. And as soon as his dad just sort of scooped him up like that, let him regain his composure and sat it back down like that.
Amen.
And the little boy looked up at his dad and said, daddy, I sure am glad you're holding me.
Amen.
Let me tell you point number one. You need to understand, and you need to understand very clearly that whether people recognize you or not, if you're here today and you're saved, God recognizes you. And you can be a great way off this morning, but listen, I'm not here to make you doubt your salvation. I'm here to tell you, you can be saved and in the pig pen this morning. I know that the reason that the boys nowadays don't want to come home is not because the father's not good. It's because the elder brothers don't forgive.
Amen. Amen.
The elder brothers did as they come to the door. What is he doing here? How come
Why? Because He's a good Father.
Amen.
You might commit some terrible, heinous crimes, but you never quit being your Father's son. You might sin against heaven and earth itself, but once you become the Father's son, you can't get out of that. You don't have to speak in some unknown language to prove you're the Father's son. You don't have to put a certain price in the plate to prove that you're the Father's son. You don't have to act a certain way to prove you're your Father's son. You say, why? It doesn't amount to anything. What you do, it all amounts to what He did. We're saved because of what He did. The proof is in the blood, not in how you act. I know what I'm saying is true, because if it wasn't true, then everybody who believes in salvation through another way except by grace through faith, they're proving their salvation by works. And according to that, you've just gone across the doctrine of the Bible. And Bible believers do it every day. You say, why? Try to keep people in line. If God wanted to keep you in line, He'd have saved you and killed you. In the passage right here, the Father is a type picture of God, and you have a choice there. But He says, if you walk up to Him and say, give me the portion that belongs to me, the Lord will say, all right, here it is, go ahead. And I'm not be rejoicing over your leaving, but I'll tell you this, I'll be here when you get back. I'm sick and tired of the Bible-believing mentality that you'd have never gone to the hog pen. Bless God if you really had gotten saved. That ain't in the Bible.
Amen.
Many of you have gone to the hog pen in your heart, whether you've followed it with your feet or not. God judges the hearts of men. We all stand before Him this morning, including the preacher, guilty. If your salvation is based on what you do and where you go, then we're all headed for hell. Let's just dismiss and go to the barroom. It's not. It's based on the shed blood atonement of my Savior, a good Father, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary for my sin according to Scripture and was buried and raised again the third day according to Scripture. Not by works, lest any man should boast, but by the blood of Jesus.
Amen,
whether you like it or not. A lady said to me one time, she said, the way you preach, one would wonder whether you were saved. And of course, you know that I said, thank you very much, I appreciate so much your personal opinion. It matters dearly to me. I thought to myself, lady, I'd hate to be your husband and put that bridle on, bridle wear that all the time. There will always be people that want to make you question the goodness of the Father and make you think you got to get cleaned up before you come back to the Father's house. Notice, in the interest of time, I could preach on that for a long time, but I can't. We got to move on. You say, what? It doesn't matter whether anybody else recognizes it or not. Everybody else has limited vision. My Father's got X-ray vision. He can recognize me from a long way off. Somebody else looks at me and says, wow, he can't be saved. Did you see what he was wearing? He's out cutting his grass and he had on a pair of shorts. He's wicked. He's going to hell. He's got to be. If you saw me in shorts, you'd think I was wicked. It's funny, isn't it? How people are. Well, they can't be saved. They're listening to rock and roll music. I'm not for listening to rock and roll music. And if you listen to it when your mom and daddy ain't there, your mom and daddy done told me, I can tell you to turn it off. I can't whoop you, but I can tell them and they can whoop you. Amen! But we're raising a generation of comparers. We're raising a generation of kids that are being taught by the elder brothers in the church. They're being taught, listen, look at what everybody else is doing and pimp them out to everybody. Tell everybody, oh, well, they can't be saved. Look at what they're doing. Mom, I'm not doing what she's doing. Dad, I'm not doing what he's doing. Well, I don't go where they go, dress like they dress, and do what they do. Therefore, aren't I good? You're an elder brother. And your parents probably sit around on the roof and crow all the time and have a sticker on the bumper of their car. You ought to see my kid. They're perfect little angels. The devil has angels too. But they appear as an angel of light and ministers of righteousness. But they're still the devil. Don't you ever compare yourselves among yourselves. Let's not raise a generation who thinks that their salvation or their Christian living is based on what their brother or sister is or is not doing. Let's raise a generation that's free from all that garbage.
Amen.
Preacher, I don't believe I had anything to do with my salvation. Then you ain't saved. Now hear me. He makes the offer. But if you don't take the offer, you ain't in. So how do you know? Okay, well, little basic Bible 101, okay? Thief on this side, thief on this side. Lord, remember me. I ain't taking you. One said, I'll take you. The other one said, I reject you. One got in, one didn't. See, well, he was just always foreordained and so... Oh, come on. Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. You're not that stupid. Are you? So you're just trying to armbar me. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm trying to set you free. The Bible says the truth will set you free. I know that's been used by a lot of people to cover up what a lot of states call truth is. And what they tell you is not truth, but because they said it was truth, you just accept it as truth. I'm telling you, it ain't truth. But what I'm telling you is Bible. You're saved by grace through faith. You know what He says? If you will confess Him and believe what God did with Him, raising Him from the dead, if you will take Him as your Savior, if you will repent of your sin, if you got something you got to do. You say, what it is? I have to accept the gift.
Amen.
See, it's not that simple. Then you get up here and tell them how easy it is, okay? You begin to become the standard of Christian living. You know what? Some of you people, you don't smoke and you don't drink and you don't cuss, but you know what you'll do? You'll sit there and mock and laugh and talk about everything that somebody says that's spiritual that you don't agree with. You know what the Bible says about that? Those Pharisees did the same thing, and He says, I got a place reserved for you, and it's worse than the other place. It's low as hell. You think what I'm kidding you, telling you is a joke? It's strange how the people laughed when the children of Israel were in bondage. Moses is trying to set them free, and there's Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Moses takes too much on himself, don't he? He really thinks he's a hot shot, don't he? I mean, I could have set him free. How come the Lord didn't call you to set him free? Because He saw the rebel in your heart, that's why. And your kids see it. And other Christians see it. You know what happens? The church and the things of God become a mockery. It got quiet there. You know what that means? I kicked over the honey bucket. Now they're upset because it's spilling out on the ground. Strange to me how people think of themselves more highly than they ought. And sit in judgment upon somebody that's trying. A lady got up to sing one time. And I confess, she kind of couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But God had set her free. And she just wanted to do something. And she stood up in front of a bunch of people and she said to the preacher, she said, could I sing a song? And the preacher said, sure, sister, you come right on up here. And she got up there and the best she could, she sang a song. And people giggled. And people laughed and people mocked. And I thought to myself, I bet you the Lord's not mocking. I bet you the Lord's not laughing. I bet you the Lord's not making fun. You know why? Because she was trying. If you're going to come to the Father, you've got to realize your condition. You've got to be responsible for your own actions. But you've got to return to the house. When you get there, you have to repent. But now watch. You have to accept the restoration. You hear me? You have to accept the restoration. It's dying out, brother. You know what the problem with some of you is? The problem is that God's forgiven you, but you can't accept that He's forgiven you. That boy comes back to the Father's house. Let me just tell you how good the Father is. That boy comes back to the Father's house and he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven, repenting, and against thee, getting right with the one he sinned against. And he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said, hush up, that's enough.
Father, let me tell you what I did with this substance, what I did in the riotous living. Let me tell you about where I've been. The Father said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. He says, just hush your mouth. And He sends a servant out to get a robe. Get some shoes and get a ring. He says, hey boy, I don't want to hear it. Listen to me this morning. Once you return, you have to be willing to accept.
Amen.
The fact that He's restored you.
Amen.
You say, well, but I haven't done enough to be restored. Brother Matt, I've been out of church a while and I came back and I got to get busy. I got to work. I got to sweat. I got to make up. I got to make an atonement. No! The Father says, I'm glad you're home, boy. Listen, I'm glad you came back to the house. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't want you to do nothing. Watch it, but sit down and eat.
Amen.
He didn't say, boy, you left the North 40 out there that ain't been plowed, and you left some mules in there that ain't been shot, and some hogs over yonder that ain't been fed, and you left some sheep that ain't been sheared. He said, sit down and eat. First thing you ought to do when you return from the far country is sit down and enjoy the restoration. But you have to be willing to accept it. It's tough for a proud man. And every man in here is proud. God's been good to all of us. And He says, you come back and He says, hey, I've restored you. You say, oh Lord, you couldn't restore somebody like me. And the brethren say, oh, now while you were out there, you did some horrible, horrible things and you're beyond being able to be restored. I mean, God can't use you anymore. You didn't put on God's shelf. No, you haven't. You've been put on the potter's wheel and you've got those nail-scarred hands pressing on that clay. You've become soft and moldable again and God's going to work on you and do something great. Just accept the fact that He's restored you.
Amen.
He doesn't restore you by what you do. Restore you by His goodness and His grace. Doesn't restore you because you deserve it. He restored you because He's merciful. Don't you believe anybody that tells you you can mess up so much God will never use you. He'll restore you, boy. You got to accept it. The devil wants to ride your back and keep you from accepting what God's given you by His grace. Wear you down by thinking, man, all the stuff I did in the far country, and every time you get up, you're so burdened with all you did, that's all you can talk about. And the Father says, shut up, we don't want to hear about it. Just talk about how good it is to be back in the Father's house. Because you can't get the final part until you accept the restoration. What is it? Rejoicing! Can't rejoice! You're still in bondage. Say, preacher, what bondage? Bondage to the sins of the past. Bondage to... You ever been in this one? I let God down. You ever been there? Sister, you've been there. Thank you. Amen. I've been there. I let God down. Oh God, I did some horrible. Oh God, I'm so sorry. God, you can never use me. And the Lord's like, the devil says, ain't he dirty? And the Lord says, looks pretty clean to me. He said, how do you know? He got a new robe. Just like the blood of Jesus, when you claim that blood in 1 John 1:9 and you say, God forgive me, He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He covers you in His blood and the devil comes up and he accuses you and he says to you, he's dirty, and the Lord says he's clean. White and pure as the driven snow. Why the goodness of the Father? I got looking.
in the book of Luke, a little further over, checking that robe out. And I got thinking about the Lord coming up out of that grave. And when they ran into the grave over there, but as long as they went running in there and they saw over here piled up in the trash heap like a dirty clothes hamper, they saw the old rags laying over there. You say, why? Because when the Lord came out of the tomb, He was wearing a different robe. And the Lord blows the horn, sister, we going up and this robe of flesh, we're going to drop. And by the time we cross the threshold, you know what we'll have on? A new robe.
Amen.
And the devil will say he's dirty and say, looks pretty clean to me.
Amen.
The devil's a false accuser, and I'm sorry to say, oftentimes the church is full of the devil.
Right.
But God is trying to tell you this morning, if you came back, the past is the past. He's given you a new robe this morning. A robe of His righteousness. You've been restored because of His righteousness, not the works of your own righteousness. You don't come back in and do penance. You don't walk back into the church and go, oh, I'm back, preacher. What do you want me to do? What can I do to relieve this burden of guilt? Give it to God. Cast your burden on Him because He cares for you. Just put on the new robe and enjoy His righteousness. Man, can you imagine what that must have been like? Of course, obviously, you got to talk about the shoes. He sends a servant after the shoes. So I got thinking to myself, what's He doing? While the servant, I'll get back far just a second. What's He doing while the servant's gone to get the shoes? You don't put shoes on dirty feet. Wash your feet, boy.
Come on,
bro. That father is so glad to see that boy coming home. Them blistered and battered and bruised and bloody feet have come down that hot path on the highway to hell with the hounds of hell chasing him all the way back to the father's house. And the father runs to meet him and he says, boy, I bet your feet are sore. Sit down and take the load off.
Glory. Thank God.
That old man goes and gets that wash basin and pours him a little water in and girds himself about with a towel. And he says, hey, boy, stick your feet in this cool, clear water right here and let Daddy wash them and let Daddy make them clean. And that night we'll get them anointed and cleaned up so that once the servant gets back with the shoes, the stench will be gone, not covered up. And then I'll give you some shoes to protect you in the future. Say, what is that? The Father is doing something He's not interested in everybody else seeing. He's wiping something off of that boy's feet that only the Father can take off. He's touching something only the Father will touch. He's washing something only the Father would dare to wash. Those feet right there spoke a testimony of where that boy had been. And that father, as tears began to mingle with that water, washes that boy's feet. And he's saying the whole time, thank God he's home. Thank God he's home. Thank God he's home. Oh, thank God he's home. You know what he's thinking in his mind? Thank God I'm washing his feet. And he's still alive instead of having to wash the feet of a dead man. Thank God he came home before the pig pen killed him. Thank God he came back to the house. I don't care what everybody else says. I'm just glad he's alive. You say, how do you know that? It was the father's responsibility to wash the body of his family and prepare it for burial. I think that father's washing them feet. Thank God I don't care what these feet have been. I don't care what these feet have done. I don't care. I'm just glad these feet are back under my roof again. I'm just grateful. I'm just thankful. I just appreciate it. And he's washing them feet. And that boy's saying, oh, Daddy, no, not my feet, Daddy, please, not my feet. And he says, hey, boy, Nobody but Daddy can wash your feet. You got to accept the restoration before you can appreciate the rejoicing. Notice what happens. Look in Romans chapter number 8, if you would please. Romans chapter number 8. I like this, man. You say, why? This is what awaits you if you've been out today. If you've been wandering. If you've been in the pig pen. If you're worried about your comparison to the other brothers and the sisters. If you're worried about anything except what the Father thinks. Let me give you a couple of passages of Scripture to make you rejoice. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 35. Nor famine. There was a famine in the land. And the boy began to be in want. And even if there is a famine in the land of your heart this morning, God says, listen, even that famine will separate you. You may feel dry this morning, and in the desert this morning, you may feel alone, without hope and without God. If you're saved, there's no separating you. The Father is still in the house saying, come on home. I'm glad you're here. You say, why? Because He's a good Father. Fathers have a way of overlooking things. I like the fact, come back to the book of Luke, I'll try to hurry. I'm having too much fun. And made the Father rejoice. You got to get that. And the Bible says very clearly that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angel over one sinner that repenteth. It's time that we make the Father happy. An old preacher got called one time. There was a doctor that was dying. And this old doctor had been around death a lot and he knew his time was short. And that old guy says, he said, call me the preacher from the big church. And the preacher came in there and he was a liberal. And he began to talk to that doctor and he said, tell me, how have you lived and what have you done and are you going to live it and are you going to do it? And it wasn't long before that doctor saw right through that shammer.
That's right.
And he said, send him out and bring that old country preacher in here.
Amen. Right.
And that country preacher walked in and under the shadow of that broad brim of that hat, he took it off and he said, sir, what might I do for you? And that doctor said, I'm fixing to pass from here to yonder. And I want to make sure I'm going to the right place. And that old preacher began to spout out all the verses in the Bible that he knew about salvation. And it wasn't long before he presented the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to that old doctor. And he stuck out his hand and he said, hey doc, will you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? And that doctor grabbed that old country preacher's hand and he said, yes sir, I will. And that doctor passed from death to life eternal. And that old heretic of a preacher, he said to his friends, do you think that it is possible that a deathbed profession of faith can atone for an entire life riddled with sin? And an individual said, well, I don't think the profession can, but Calvary can. You see, it wasn't the deathbed profession. It was the work of Calvary. Can a deathbed profession deliver you from a life of sin this morning? Uh-uh. But Calvary can. Can it atone for the sins you've done in the past? No! But Calvary can! Listen to me! If you're lost today, He's still doing the same thing that He did back then! He's still saying to you, you know what? I'll still save you. But not only that. He's at the Father's house this morning. You know what? He says, you want me to have a good Father's Day? Why don't you come home? See, I like it when all my kids are at the house for Father's Day. I mean, we might sit around and have a little bit of fun, but my mind's always on the kids that's out there in the pig pen. You say, the Father, He don't care about the kids in the pig pen. You're still His kids. If you're saved. You're not His kids by natural birth. You're His kids by spiritual birth. You're not His kids because mom and daddy were His kids. You're His kids because you trusted Him as your own personal Savior. You are His kids because you have His blood coursing through your veins this morning. Not mom and daddy's. You've been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And if you're that, TK, you know what? You can still be in the far country. Kim, you can still be in the far country. Mike, you can still be in the far country. Brother Brian, you can be saved. And you can still be in a far country. So how would you know? Look on the split rails of that pig pen. And you'll see the initials of many that have gone on before you.
Amen.
But thank God, at least for right now, my initials are stamped on the backside of that thing on the wall. I got tired of staying in there and I said, my Father's got plenty of bread to eat. And listen, I can get my needs met. I want to go see my Father. You come back, you know what the Father does? Well, most Bible believers try to teach you that the Father says, go stand in the corner and time out. Most Bible believers teach that if you've gone into a far country, the Lord's going to give you a time out. It means how much time you're out when He knocks you out. Most Christians are taught that now that you came back, when you come back, God's going to got a place for you, but it's out in the barn. It's out in the North 40. You forgot the ring.
Every son was given a ring just because he was born into the Father's house. A servant could have a robe and a servant could have shoes, but only a son could have a ring. And that father came back. That boy came back. He came to that father. You know what he said? Put a ring on that boy's finger. He stays in the house with me because he's mine. Say, that don't seem just and that don't seem righteous. And you, who were once alienated from God and were afar off, Ephesians says, He saved. You say, give me a type, preacher. Okay, you want a type? Hebrews 11. None of those Old Testament saints that messed up have their sins mentioned in Hebrews 11. You say, why? Because they're on the other side of Calvary. They're past the blood.
Amen.
You know what God wants to do with you this morning? He wants to restore you. You say, why? He's a good Father. You want to make the Father happy this morning? Say, I believe I do, preacher. Come home. Come home. So, well, but preacher, I don't have anything to bring. You missed it. What do you think that boy had to bring with him? Rags? Stains? Stench? Last part of the message. The Bible says that the Father had compassion on him. And he ran
fully committed. And he fell on his neck. But watch. He fell on his neck before he got a bath, before he got a robe, before he got a ring, and while his feet still smelled like hog dewy. That's the love of the Father! He'll run towards you, and he'll hug you, and he'll squeeze you, and he'll weep tears over you of compassion and care and concern, because he's glad to see you. You don't have to get cleaned up first. Come as you are. Say why? He takes pleasure in cleaning us up. He gets glory in cleaning us up. I mean, how could we come in there? I'm all clean. Look how clean and pretty I am. That boy comes in, man. Father sees him down the road. Sweat stains under his armpits. The smell of hogs on him. Hadn't had a shower or shaved, and God forbid ain't had a haircut. Didn't have on any shoes. He wasn't fit to come to the church house. He wasn't dressed proper. You know what the Father did? He ran to meet him. You say, why? Because he knew it wouldn't be long before the elder brothers would be out there saying, you can't come to our church like that. You need to go home, get a shave, get cleaned up. I mean, man, you stink. He had the stink of sin on him. And the Father had compassion on him. A caring for him. Concern for him. You know how he showed it? He touched him. He hugged his neck. But he didn't stop with a hug. He gave him a fatherly kiss. He kissed what nobody else would touch. Dirty, nasty, filthy, stinking. Hadn't lived up to his father's reputation. Brought a bad reproach to his father's name. And his father said, I'm glad to see you. And he hugged him. And if you see yourself any different than that prodigal since salvation, you're identified in the next part of the passage, which I don't have time to go into, but that's the elder brother. And that ain't a good one to be compared to. Well, preacher, what should we do? Well, I don't know about you, but this morning, long about 5 o'clock, I just said, Lord, just in case you're wondering, in case I look like I'm out there, I'd just like to have the experience of coming home again. See, preacher, I haven't left. Yeah, I know, but I like the experience of coming home. I like to relive Calvary. I like to relive times in my life where I've stepped out and done some things that only God knows about that are wrong and improper, and yet I come back to the Father's house and He shows me a righteous compassion. Amen. And He forgives me. You know what it does, Brother Brad? It helps me to have compassion on others. And I want Miss Pat to come this morning. You know what I want her to play? I bet you can't guess. Just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. You say, why? That's what the Lord wants this morning. Twofold invitation. Number one, if you're lost, He'll find you today if you'll come right up here and say, Lord, me, save me. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Second part. If you've been wandering, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know what you do? You just come back and say, Lord, I just want to draw up close to You today. I sure don't want to be an older brother. Don't think I'm out in the pig pen right now, Lord, but I know I could be, but by Your grace. Just want to come and say this morning, thank You. What are You going to bring Him? I don't know. What can You bring somebody that has everything? You can bring Him thankfulness. You can bring Him gratitude. You can't give Him anything. But that's one thing you can.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
She prays, you come. God spoke to your heart, don't wait. Don't tarry. He'll run to meet you this morning. He'll meet you right out there. He'll run and have compassion on you. He'll not kick you away or turn you away. Listen, don't worry about what all the friends in the far country are going to say. Don't worry about what the elder brother is going to say. Listen to me this morning. Don't hesitate. Don't tarry. If God spoke to your heart, come, come, come now.
Experience the goodness of the Father. The greatness of the Father.
Come even now. Come. Come. Won't you come? Father, I've sinned against heaven and against Thee. I'm not even worthy to be called Your son. Just make me as one of Your hired servants. Shut up, boy. I got a robe just Your size. I got a pair of shoes that'll fit Your feet. And I got a ring for Your finger to restore you to your position as a son. You never quit being my son. Won't you come? Won't you come? As she plays, you come. Won't you come?